Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's March 18, 2015, and this is episode 463. Canon recently released a long-awaited Mark II version of their legendary 100-400mm lens that was loved by many until the resolution of our cameras outgrew it. Today we're going to take a look at this new lens to see if it was worth the wait. As the megapixels of the images that our cameras record increases, the demand on our lenses to resolve light down to a finer point of light increases too. Without sharp lenses, high resolution cameras can't maximize the benefit of having more megapixels, and this is what happened with the original version of Canon's 100-400mm lens. As digital came in and cameras went from 3 to 6 to 8 and then 12 megapixels, the telephoto end of the lens got gradually softer, and then as the 20 plus megapixel cameras arrived, it really became unusable. If you're one of the people that has or still uses the old 100-400mm, then this may seem harsh, but I personally found it so soft at 21 megapixels that I stopped using it, and I sold my old copy after just not taking it out for a couple of years after buying the 1DS Mark III and the 5D Mark II. For 8 years since then, my long lens needs were catered for by the 600mm and the 300mm prime lenses with extender combinations, and they were great lenses, but I always missed the versatility of the zoom. I sold both the 600mm and 300mm to pay for the 200-400mm with the 1.4x extender built in 2013, and that was a revolution in itself, giving me the ability to zoom from 200 to 560mm with the flick of a switch. But it's still a hefty lens and requires a tripod and a gimbal head for prolonged use. I still missed having a reasonable range in a hand-holdable package until, of course, Canon released their new EF 100-400 f4.5 to 5.6 IS 2 USM lens at the end of 2014. My 200-400mm isn't going anywhere, but with the release of the Canon EOS 7D Mark II, also at the end of 2014, because of its crop factor, I can effectively zoom from 160mm to 640mm when using the new 100-400 with the 7D Mark II. I found myself liberated once again as I shot for 4 weeks on my two Japan Winter Wonderland tours in January and February 2015. Being able to effortlessly hand-hold up to the equivalent of 640mm for long periods of time was something that I quickly realised I dearly missed. I also took and used my 200-400mm as that gets me to almost 900mm on the 7D Mark II with the 1.4x extender engaged, and that is out of this world. Okay though, so let's look at what's changed on the new 100-400mm from Canon. One of the biggest differences between the original version and the new Mark II is that Canon moved away from the pump action of the Mark I. People seemed to be polarized by this one on the old lens, some loving and hating it. I was in the love it crowd. The problem that people often quoted was that the original lens was a dust pump, bringing in dust and dumping it on the sensor as you pump the lens in and out through its zoom range. Personally, I didn't really find that an issue, but I loved being able to zoom through the entire range just by pushing the lens in and out. In fact, pretty much the only thing that I don't like about the new 100-400mm lens is the zoom action. I can live with it being a zoom ring over the pump action, but I think the amount of twist required to zoom through the entire zoom range from 100 to 400 is about twice as much as it needs to be. I've become more accustomed to this to a degree over the past 2 months, but still, very often I find myself having to reposition my hand mid-zoom, sometimes losing shots when I zoom out as a subject moves towards me, for example. There is also a new zoom touch adjustment ring that can be loosened to make it easier to zoom, and I found that keeping this loose certainly made it easier to zoom through the entire range without repositioning my hand. It's also good to be able to tighten this up to stop the lens from extending when carrying the lens around if you're carrying your camera with a strap on the camera itself. When using the camera strap, the lens dangles down and can extend out more easily than when carrying the camera and lens attached to the tripod mount ring, as I do when I'm using my Black Rapid straps, for example. Another nice addition is the removable tripod mount. There's a knurled knob now between the tripod mount and the ring on the lens to enable you to easily remove the tripod mount foot when you aren't using it. I'll put images in the blog post for this week, so if you want to go and see the images so that I, you know, to illustrate my points here, go over to mbp.ac/463. Because I attach my strap to the foot of the on the lens when shooting wildlife, I didn't take this shoe off very often, but when using a strap on the camera body, it is nice to be able to easily remove the tripod foot. So, you know, you can just basically get it out of the way. In addition to Mode 1 for static subjects and Mode 2 for panning with moving subjects, the new 100-400mm also has the new Mode 3 image stabilization mode. This basically turns off image stabilization while you're looking through the lens and only turns it on during exposure. The manual says that this is good for shooting fast and irregularly moving subjects, but I honestly found it difficult to use, especially when zoomed in a lot. Especially on a crop factor camera, I like to see the image stabilized through the finder when I'm composing my shot. So I tried this for a while and then went back to mode 1 or 2 depending on my subject type. The first thing that I checked when I got this lens, especially as I'd bought it without even checking the specs, was the minimum focus distance. Because this had been so close with the 70-200 f2.8 Mark II lens, I had my hopes up that it would be close with the new 100-400mm as well, but I was blown away to find out that it can focus down to basically a hair under 1 meter or 3.22 feet. Remember that this distance is measured from the sensor, though, so we're really talking about being able to focus on a subject just 2 feet or so from the end of the lens hood, even at 400mm, and that's amazing. Because of this, I was able to get in really close for photos like this one of a snow monkey deep in thought. When I bought my old 100-400mm lens, I actually had a hole cut in the base of the lens hood by laser so that I could get my finger in there to adjust the polarizing filter when necessary. Well, another nice touch with the new 100-400 is that there's a special window at the base of the lens hood that you can open when necessary to adjust the filter. It's nice to see Canon actually listening to their users in at least some areas. While on the subject of the lens hood, there's one of those nice little locking buttons now on the lens hood so that once the lens hood is clicked into place, you have to press the button before you can rotate it to remove the hood again. This is a small detail but a welcome change, especially with a lens like this that you often use as you run and gun, because, you know, those lens hoods, once they fall off, it's not only a pain, it can be an expensive deal if you do lose it. Above all, the main area that has been improved with this Mark II version of the 100-400mm lens from Canon is without doubt the sharpness of this little beauty. I was impressed by the closer minimum focus, but I've been absolutely blown away by the sharpness of this lens. Here, for example, is a photo of a Stella's seagull opening his talons and preparing for attack, or maybe he was coming in to land, I can't remember. Probably landing, actually, because he's quite away from the water. But basically, I photographed him here at 349mm, ISO 320 at f11 for a thousandth of a second. And this was using the new Canon EOS 7D Mark II. And here is a 100% crop of just the head and the talons. You'll need to go to the blog if you're not already there at mbp.ac/463 and actually click on the image, because in the blog post it's resized down to 800 or so pixels, but to view it at 100% you'll need to click on it. Note that these original images are sharpened only with standard Lightroom sharpness settings of amount 25, radius 1.0 and detail 25. The 100% crops here have no additional sharpening applied. The original 100-400mm was notorious for getting softer at the extremes of its zoom range, 100 and 400mm. So here's another photo, this time of a Japanese red crown crane that I shot at 100mm as the crane flew directly overhead during my Japan winter wildlife workshop. And here is the 100% crop of the head and a section of the body under underwings, so that you can see just how sharp this lens is. It was shot at 100mm f10 for a 1250th of a second at ISO 320 with the Canon EOS 7D Mark II. Again, click on the image on the blog to view it full size to really appreciate this. Here also is a photo of a black kite in flight, shot at 400mm at f10 for a thousandth of a second at ISO 500 with the Canon EOS 1DX. And here is the 100% crop of the black kite. Again, the sharpness is quite amazing for a lens with such a large zoom range. I've been really impressed. Here's another example at 400mm, this time of a Stella's seagull just sitting on the ice. This one was shot with the 7D Mark II at 800th of a second, f9, at ISO 800. And here is the 100% crop. Again, there has been no more than Lightroom's default sharpening applied here, so personally, I feel that this level of sharpness is pretty amazing, really, for a zoom lens with this range. I haven't shot this lens with the 1.4x extender on in the field, so I don't have any example shots with the extender, but I have just done some tests with a target pinned to the wall in my studio, so I'll share the results of these tests with you as well. This test was done by pinning a resolution chart to the wall and photographing it at 100, 200 and 400 millimeters at 5.6, f8 and f11 for each focal length. And then I attached the 1.4x extender Mark III for a focal length of 560 millimeters and shot two more frames at f11 and f8. Note that adding the extender causes the aperture to stop down by one stop, so there is no f5.6 when using the extender. I won't put the animated GIF files into the enhanced podcast if that's what you're listening to, because the files are pretty big. So you will, again, you'll have to go to the blog to check this out. But basically what I've done is I've created, for illustration, animated GIF files with the 11 resulting photographs. Because I had to move my camera for each test shot, each image moved slightly. So I've aligned the images in Photoshop and trimmed them just a little bit around the edges to make it easier to see the relationship between each frame. Note that I added the focal length and aperture labels in Photoshop as well. You'll notice here as the animation progresses that there is a little bit of distortion at 100mm that basically disappears by the time you zoom into 200mm. And this isn't a problem that you can really see in images shot in the field. You will only notice this when doing tests like this. Next is on the blog is a 100% crop of just the center of the first animation. The first animation, of course, doesn't really help because it's downsized, so you can't see. That was literally just for illustration. But in this second animated GIF, as long as you click on the image and view it larger on the blog, you will be able to see 100% of the, you know, the so you can really check the resolution. Basically, you'll see sharp images throughout the entire range, and even with the 1.4x extender fitted, images are acceptably sharp, especially if you need that extra bit of reach without splashing out for the 200 to 400 with the integral 1.4x extender at pretty much 5x the price of the 100 to 400mm. Here as well is the top right corner of these this series of test shots at 100%. You'll see that there is a little bit of chromatic aberration in the corner at 100mm, while this lens has that bit of distortion at 100mm as well. But that also clears up as we zoom in. It's not perfect, but all in all, the new 100 to 400mm lens from Canon performs exceptionally well in the field, really across the entire zoom range. Tests will pretty much always show up some minor flaws, but in my experience from the field over the last few months, this really tells me that the lens is a winner. Apart from the zoom action, which I really would have liked to see Canon make much snappier, the lens handles incredibly well. I haven't yet mentioned another area that has been greatly improved, and that's the autofocus speed. It's been so long since I used my old 100 to 400mm that I can't remember just how slow it was, but I was never overwhelmed with the speed of the autofocus, and I recall thinking just how fast my other lenses started to become as I bought more long telephoto lenses. The 100 to 400mm Mark II, though, is totally stress-free when it comes to the speed of the autofocus. It just snaps onto the subject as quickly as you can operate the camera. Okay, so here's my verdict on the 100 to 400mm. If you are a Canon shooter and you're in the market for a lens for handheld wildlife or sports, you can't go wrong with the new Canon EF 100 to 400mm f4.5 to 5.6 IS-2 USM lens. There really isn't anything that I can think of that would make me think twice about picking up one of these little babies. In fact, I was so confident that I was going to love this lens that I ordered it before I'd even read the specs. And of course, you know me, I'm not giving this lens a rave review because I've committed to liking it. If I didn't like the lens or anything else that I review for that matter, you'd know that I would tell you. So, sure, you know, it has a few quirks, but honestly, the versatility, sharpness, and speed of this lens far outweigh any of the little issues that I've mentioned in this review. As I mentioned, I also own the Canon 200 to 400 f4 1.4x extender lens, so I'm sure some of you are wondering if I'll be selling that. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I won't, as it is certainly nice to be able to add that, just flick that 1.4x extender in with a flick of a switch. The image quality, honestly, is pretty much the same as the 100 to 400 Mark II, you don't see that distortion at the wide end, but then you can't go to 100 millimeters anyway. In many ways, the 100 to 400 is more versatile and hand-holdable, but the 200 to 400 is just too good a lens to let go. Would I have bought the 200 to 400 millimeter if the 100 to 400 lens was released first? Now, that's a tough one. I think probably yes, but it would have been a much harder decision. Especially when you consider that the 200 to 400 is 5 times the price of this 100 to 400 millimeters and requires a tripod and gimbal for prolonged use, the 100 to 400 starts to become even more appealing. Okay, so as is often the case with gear reviews, this one has taken me quite a lot of time this week. That's why I'm 3 days late, well, 2 full days late getting this episode out this week. So if you decide to pick up your own Canon EF 100 to 400 millimeter Mark II lens and you shop at B&H, my favorite online store, you could help me to continue these reviews by buying with our affiliate link, which is mbp.ac/100-400ii, or click on the icons that I've put at the bottom of the blog post. The product, of course, stays the same price to you, but we get a modest payment from B&H if you click with these links. Thank you. Before we finish, I'd like to mention that we have had a few cancellations for my Namibia Full Circle tour with Jeremy Woodhouse this year. So if you'd like to join us and visit that extraordinarily beautiful corner of Africa for an amazing landscape, wildlife and cultural tour from August 10 to 26 this year, we'd love to hear from you. You can see details on Jeremy's website at mbp.ac/Namibia2015, and if you sign up, don't forget to tell Jeremy that I sent you. Thanks very much for listening today. I hope you found this useful. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And links to everything else that I'm up to are at the top of martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.